Are you ready to listen to a podcast?
This is TripleYourClients.com with your host, Andy Brown.
Find, subscribe, and listen.
Expert marketing advice to triple your clients today.
Now you can start listening.
Welcome to episode 47 of TripleYourClients.com podcast. My name's Andy Brown, and as ever, it's a sheer pleasure to have you on board. Whether you're running to work, walking to work, skipping, crawling, however you're getting there, and you got the old earphones in and you're listening to your podcast, I do appreciate that you're tuning in. Maybe you're relaxing at the end of the evening, maybe you're having a bath, just taking time out to listen to a different podcast. The fact you're tuned in, I do appreciate. It's wonderful. It inspires me to create more content, to share more information. It's a noisy world out there. There are many podcasts. And yes, thank you very much. Talking to podcasts, this week I was actually meeting up with Colin Gray from the podcasthost.com in St. Andrews. We talked about many different things, but one little comment he made, I thought I would share it with you. It might not seem that important, but there's me wondering what's happening with podcasting. You know, you read all the numbers, but you need to listen to the experts. And when Colin says that there really is been an upturn in the last, or has been an upturn in the last 6 months in references to podcasting, it's taking on, you know, that momentum we predicted is certainly happening. There is that growth. Then that, you know, that motivates me. That's something that should motivate yourself. I mentioned in a previous show that Apple with their CarPlay product will be within cars being manufactured this year and next year. Maybe in 18 months, 2 years, we'll be able to say it's mainstream. In the US, 15% of people actually have heard a podcast. They know what one is. There's not a blank face when someone says, have you listened to a podcast? So it's fascinating times. It's interesting times. And I'm still passionate about podcasting because it will be one of the major platforms where you need to have your business message out there. I mean, and people are going to get sort of depressed and a little bit down on the numbers at the beginning. It's the reality of it. You release your first show, your second show, your third show, and you're looking for this sort of massive growth. You know, you want that feedback from people. And to be truthful, it doesn't really happen like that. And I don't think you should really get too concerned with the numbers. I think you should be looking at the fact that if you created a show about the answer to one question that your customers and prospects are asking, isn't that wonderful? Because then, as I did this week, you can then use that as content to give to your prospect and maybe close a sale, you know, increase the trust they have in you. And it doesn't seem like marketing. And it saves you having to type out chunks of, you know, text to reply to a question. Instead, you actually just reference one particular podcast. So think of it like that rather than you're doing a weekly show. You know, if you look at my first 40 shows, each one is really an answer to a question a prospect was asking me. And so if I write a reply to someone that's interested in my services and I can reference out to these different shows, they can maybe listen to 10, 20 seconds of each show just to get the essence of the answer that I'm offering them. And because they can hear my voice, and maybe that implies some kind of personality, they start to see me as a real person rather than, you know, just this person on the end of the phone line or at the end of the email just trying to sell his services. Instead, I'm a human being, you know, people buy people. And I don't need to get too caught up in the numbers. And the same for yourself. You don't need to get caught up in the numbers. Use it as a tool to improve your marketing now rather than later. So yes, you know, Colin saying that really does motivate me. So check out his site, thepodcasthost.com, because if you're new to it and you want to understand a little bit more about the essence of creating a podcast, maybe even just the equipment, maybe you need a sort of check sheet or a guide. There's lots of information there. So how's your week been? For me, it's been a fun one. I had some friends up here this weekend. They travelled up from down in Surrey, came up to St. Andrews in Fife, enjoyed the beach, the castle, the cathedral, just had a relaxing time. They did get caught in some fans coming down from Aberdeen way, actually, as they're getting the train down to Murrayfield in Edinburgh for the game, the Scotland v Wales game, as my friends took their train back down to Edinburgh to get the plane back. But yeah, they came up for a couple of days, and it's always good, isn't it? When you get away from your work and you start mixing with your friends and old friends and just chilling out, go on the beach and, walk your dog and have a few beers, Isn't it wonderful? I wish we could do it all the time. But now I'm back in work mode, and this is a Sunday night, and I'm doing the podcast. And I think the lesson there is, of course, I enjoy doing the podcast, but a Sunday night, everyone wants to relax and watch films and TV. But if you want to be successful in your business and you really want to be motivated, or motivate your prospects, your clients, show that you care, you need to create content on a consistent basis. And that might mean you've got to do that at the less than convenient hours and times of the week. For me, I've committed to do that on a Sunday. And it's not always the best day because the energy levels might be a bit lower than other days, but you've got to put your mark in the sand and go for it. And I don't want to lecture you here. I'm certainly not that kind of person, but just wanted to almost remind you, just to show you, give you some motivation that nothing happens just from one show or two shows. It's a consistency where the magic happens, and overnight success in like 4 or 5 years. That's the kind of message you get from anyone who's been successful. It doesn't just happen just the time they get the big breakthrough. It's all that hard work before then. So yes, good end to the week, and now we're starting a new one. You'll probably listen to this on a Monday or Tuesday. And I'm getting into, I just mentioned beer, but tomorrow I start a 60-day reboot, which aligns with my goal to do weight loss, and also my half marathon training in Edinburgh at the end of May. If you look up a guy called Joe Cross, highly recommend him if you want to understand a little bit more about juicing and how you can make a positive change in your life. He came out with a film called Sick, Fat and Nearly Dead, and I like his style, and I did really thoroughly enjoy the storytelling in that film, real live documentary. So do check it out if you're interested in that kind of weight loss goals and strategies and just stuff that works for the guy on the street, and it's not too difficult to do. So yes, that's part of the next week. And apart from I've got 2 or 3 new AdWords clients I'm working on. So that always consumes a lot of time, just creating a brand new account. So looking forward to doing that as well. If you listen to the show in the past, you know that each episode I concentrate on usually 3 things that are of interest. They're basically trends or strategies that I believe that if you set up in your own business, at least acknowledge, you will see some improvement in your marketing, maybe get some more leads and phone calls into your business, convert better, whatever they are. Today we're going to talk about AdWords extensions, 2 in particular. We're going to talk about Facebook video versus YouTube, and then we're going to talk about Twitter and Google. They're back in love again. We had Valentine's Day yesterday. They're starting their partnership, which broke down in 2011, but they're full steam ahead again, and we'll talk about the impact of that. But before we get into those topics, we got some other things to talk about. There's a lot going on. I've been listening to a lot of different shows. I believe there's a lot of value in listening to different podcasts, but maybe you haven't had the time to, so maybe I can help you in that respect. One podcast that I thoroughly enjoy is the Smart Passive Income one by Pat Flynn. And not so recently, I think it was a good few weeks ago, he did a show with a guy called Steve Chu, and the topic was about email marketing, but it was email marketing for a site which is called mywifequitherjob.com. Essentially, his wife started a business which was an e-commerce website, and his side of the business is actually helping people see how she set it up, and then they can follow some lessons on his website and actually buy into a course. And the way that he sells is through email marketing. And one of the points he made was about single opt-in had completely transformed his business. For a long time he was double opt-in, and for that, just for an explanation, that's where someone fills in their name and email, or they could just be their email, but then they have another email that comes back and they need to confirm it. And sometimes people don't bother to do that. It's unfortunate because they're inspired to put their email in, but they don't actually confirm it. So they never hear from you again. And it's just a bit frustrating, really. But that's what a lot of people go for. Because if someone does go through that hoop of actually confirming the email, by definition, it means you've got a kind of more trusted relationship than if it was single opt-in, which is basically they put the email in the form and then they get the email that you've set up to come out to them, you know, first time, you know, the follow-up email. Now, I've always done single opt-in, and people say, well, you're going to get a lot of spam on your list. You're going to get a list that doesn't trust you so much. But, and I've not really had that, but that's what people say. But I've always had very good performance from a single opt-in list, and I've never had any of the problems that people talk about. And AWeber does allow you to do single opt-in. And if you're using something like Lead Pages with MailChimp.com, you can also do single opt-in using the API. So if you're doing email marketing and you're relying on double opt-in, maybe for this week, just go single opt-in and see if it makes a difference. I believe it will. You need to test it for at least a week or two just to actually, you know, give it a good run, as it were. But listen to that particular show between, I'll put it in the show notes at tripleyourclients.com/47. But Steve Chu was talking to Pat Flynn, and he noted the success he had when he changed. Also, he talked about, the emails that someone gets afterwards. Now, I think he was doing like an email afterwards every 3 or 4 days. That's what I do at the moment. And I've heard many people have a lot more success where it's an email every day for, say, 10 days or 15 days. Now, that might sound excessive, but it's not excessive if you've presented the fact that they're going to get a course, like a video course, and it's going to be a daily one. So there's no surprises there. It's not excessive because you've set it up as being an email a day. And you can imagine if someone has a pain point, they need information, they need help, then of course they want something daily, now, particularly if it's a detailed course that you're offering. And Steve Chu in this situation will give, and it's worth signing up just to see the emails he sends. And then after the 15 emails, then he sells this high ticket price course. Works really well. And like I say, if you listen to the interview, you might be able to get some insights into how you could improve your email marketing. I'm certainly taking on board some of the lessons from it. I've got a goal this year to create an AdWords course. And the best way actually to promote that will be on a similar strategy to the one that Steve Chu uses at mywifequitherjob.com. Other news that I'm finding quite interesting is Twitter. They've now come out with a function where you can do a group direct message. Maybe that's going to help some people in different communities. We'll just have to watch how that shapes up. Also, giveaways, back to email marketing, really, you know, building your list. How do you inspire, motivate someone to join your list? A lot of industries, it's all about the giveaway, whether it's an ebook or a camera, an iPad, even like a retreat or a holiday. KingZumo.com is a plugin you can buy for your WordPress website. Heard a lot of good stuff about this plugin. Haven't used it personally myself. I would like to use it in the future for something, but it keeps cropping up in different podcasts and shows. The one benefit I hear is it makes it a breeze to do. It really does. And also, it's not spammy. It's the way the list is built. I will reference other podcasts in the future to do with King Zumo, and hopefully maybe get a case study of my own out there just to really drive forward the message that it is a way forward to build your list fairly quickly, actually, because it's built around the fact that people share anything that's good. You know, if you've got a good giveaway you want to get out into your marketplace. So very, very exciting, I think, you know, that there's a plugin out there that makes your life a bit easier. One of the apps that I came across this week, which is listening to another podcast, Pat Flynn again, actually, but not on his podcast. It was on a TV show, just started a YouTube TV show, which I think in itself is interesting that he's also had success in podcasting, but now he's going back to a TV show as well on YouTube. But the app he was talking about was the one that he uses when he wants to convert audio to text to help him write books. And that app is called Rev, R-E-V. And it's a very good voice recorder in itself. But if you want to get anything transcribe, get a transcription from the audio, then and get 98% accuracy on it, it's $1 per 1 minute. So it's quite a simple pricing structure. Not used it myself in so much the transcription service, but have definitely used the voice recording. I do like the kind of layout, the formatting, the slickness of it. So basically going to pay a lot more interest in with that. And I came across an app called Calm, which goes back to some of the goals I've talked about in earlier shows, just on the meditation front, because I think it's key for business owners to really get that morning routine right, because you know what it's like if you get distracted early on, or you just don't wake up in a good mood, then you know your work can suffer. If you can get that morning routine down to a T, then success, not guaranteed, but there's a greater chance that you're going to have a successful day. And meditation, I've been looking at different ways of doing that, and this Calm app seems to tick a lot of boxes. And it was recommended by Matt Mullenweg, who's the founder of WordPress. He was on in an interview with Tim Ferriss recently, and he recommended it. He is an investor in the product, so just make your mind full of that. But I had a go of it, and it is really good. Equally, he recommended a plugin for Chrome called Momentum. I'm playing around with that because, again, it uses it's just inspiring. It's beautiful the way the pictures are presented. It works in so much you put the extension in, and when you open up a new tab, you get presented with a beautiful, inspiring picture, and also it reminds you of your main to-do list, you know, your main challenge that day, what you're trying to achieve. So if you're looking to open up a new tab and maybe go to a website which is going to distract you, then it kind of stops you in your tracks. And it's working well for me, so definitely check that out. Now, I already mentioned YouTube today on today's show, and you probably think it's been around for some time, but did you realize that it's been around 10 years? The actual domain name was registered on the 14th of February. And the first video was actually uploaded on the 23rd of April, 2005. I mention this because if you look back over those 10 years, it might sound or seem obvious now that you should always have put video on YouTube, but I can go back just a few years and I had video that I was putting on Vidler, which you probably haven't heard of. But back then, it seemed to be the default choice. At least it was being recommended by Gary Vaynerchuk. I thought, he knows what's going on. He was an investor in Vidler. But as it turns out, YouTube is a default choice now for video. So in business, you do get some knocks, or you do get, sometimes you get unlucky because you don't know where to put your resource. You don't know what platform to concentrate on. And whilst it can be obvious sort of 10 years down the line, a bit like AWeber as well, email marketing, I always say that I should have promoted that a long, long time ago. You know, their affiliate program is still running. It's a very good affiliate program. I do get commission from that. But if I concentrated in the early years as people building their lists, then I would be a very wealthy affiliate marketer, because I would be getting this reoccurring income every quarter for something I recommended years ago. But you don't know. That's the kind of the luck of the draw. You can only get that luck if you're consistent with your work. So it's one thing to predict that YouTube is going to be the platform, or maybe AWeber is going to be a default email marketing platform, or Facebook is going to come to the fore, whatever it is. But you can make that bet, but you then have to be very consistent with the content over a long time. And the reason why I mention this is because it's all very well everyone's saying podcasting is going to be the platform. You know, I talk about Apple Play. I'm going to talk about it in future shows, talked about it in the past. This is why I'm doing a weekly show. It's one of my main goals. But, I don't want to be in 2016, 2017 and saying, oh, I knew it was going to be the greatest platform ever. But there's no value in that if I haven't consistently created content now, so I build my audience up. And likewise for your business, you're going to see a lot of opportunity in a lot of different channels. And yes, there will be a bit of luck if you choose the right one, but you almost need to just go for it, gut instinct, listen to me, listen to other people listen to Colin, if it's to do with podcasting, make a decision and then just go for it. Because the plus side is, like I say, with podcasting, you're creating content that you're then sharing with your audience, like today and tomorrow. You know, all the kind of compound effects that will happen with the platform just because it gets successful will happen, you know, without you, as it were. You know, in 2 years' time, you can look back and say, yes, I was helping my customers and prospects every day, but also podcasting became the mainstream platform for content publishing, and all this other plus side of the equation happened. But it's almost like a bonus ad. You know, you need to just work with the benefits you're going to get now, which, like I say, is being able to repurpose and leverage the content you have now. And we'll see what happens. You know, Apple's got a major, you know, the major percentage of interest in podcasting at the moment. This is why I always ask for reviews at tripleyourclients.com/iTunes, because it's so prominent. They got such a hold on the industry at the moment, but we don't know what's going to happen. I particularly like Stitcher, but who knows what's going to happen there? I'd like that to become the default app, but that's just me personally speaking. So yes, now let's reflect on YouTube 10 years old. So much useful content on there. And I got a budgie. I'm babysitting a budgie, and they like to hear other birds squawking and chirping away. So I went on YouTube. I found someone had posted a 10-hour video of a budgie chirping. Very useful, because I just let it play away in the background, and Jojo the budgie is now chirping away to this YouTube video. So many uses for YouTube. Thank you, the founders of YouTube. So, yes, it always fascinates me by what's out there, the tools available to us. One tool that's been recommended to me numerous of times, and only in the last month have I started playing with it seriously, is one called Screaming Frog. What a weird name that is. But yes, screamingfrog.com. It's a Java program you install on your desktop, and it goes and fetches all the information that you want to learn about your website. So that by that I mean like the URL, the page, the meta description, the headings, H1, H2, checks for errors, redirects, finds out information about your images, your titles, all this, you know, interesting information about your website. It will go away and it will crawl the website as if it's a spider, as if it's like the Google spider, and it comes back and it presents it to you. And then from there, you have the intelligence to make some decisions, whether you need to improve like all your H2 tags or your H2. You know, you can splice and dice the data. Very good app. You know, there's a free version which will crawl up to, I think, 500 links. So that's pretty good in itself. You know, you don't need to get your credit card out for anything below that number. And 0 to 500 links, there's a lot of value that can be gained from that. And also, you could put in a link to one of your competitors' websites so you can really find out maybe who's linking to them. Or if they are above you, find out why they are. You know, it could be the fact that they really have optimized every single page, and then you review your site and unfortunately you're suffering. Yep, if you're suffering from too many errors on your pages, then it gives you all the information you need to change them. And you can look at your inbound and outbound links and your anchor text, and like I say, your page descriptions. Very, very useful, like I say, for looking at your own website and your competition. So before we move on to some of the bigger topics I want to talk about today, I want to shout out to three people that left some reviews on iTunes. I really, really do appreciate that. Matthew McLean at Yap Audio here in Fife, he left a great review. Thank you very much. Says the show is helpful and entertaining, hugely valuable tips, and presented in a friendly, accessible, and down-to-earth manner. Keep up the good work, he says. Yeah, I will do, Matthew. Thank you very much. This be from Living Centre Clinic, which is down in Wimbledon. Thoroughly enjoys it. He's a regular listener. Says I know my onions, and he recommends me every time. Top notch success, straight to your inbox. Love it. Thank you very much for the review. Really does help. And then finally, out of those three reviews, David Hay, he has a productivity app, allthings.io. Definitely check that out. And he likes the way that it's full of incredibly useful tips and hints. And he does mention I manage his AdWords. So he's put that out in the public domain. So maybe I should also. I do manage his AdWords. And he's very happy that I'm doing that. And it's a great start up there over the River Tay in Dundee. That's where the team are working away on a great product. And you can check it out at allthings.io. And if you want to, if you're in the car, like I say, or you're running to work and you're never going to remember these URLs, then one that hopefully you can remember, the only one you need to remember, is tripleyourclients.com/47. That's the numbers 47. And there you'll find all the links, including the ones I've just mentioned. So let's just get on to the meat of the show. Some things that are really fascinating me at the moment that I really believe that you'll get some benefit from. One is to do with AdWords. We just mentioned AdWords, and it's to do with a product called FIFO. And it's also to do with the fact that reviews dominate the internet space and getting you up the rankings. Just mentioned iTunes. iTunes is the way is governed, or your success is influenced by the iTunes rankings and the reviews. It's sadly the way it is, because it is really difficult to leave a review. I mean, people always comment on the steps you have to go through. I wish Apple would make it easier, and I wish you could leave reviews in different ways. But it's just one aspect of the way in which people have to leave reviews online, and businesses encourage it. Now, if you're looking at a Google ad, you often see that it will say a score, and it will also give you a ranking within the ad. You can basically have your reviews within Google AdWords. So what happens is, using this tool called FIFO, you can email out to your customers and ask them to leave a review. They leave a review, and then it gets funneled into your Google AdWords. It's great, because FIFO are what's called a Google licensed content partner. And they allow you, like I say, to have this extra line of content within your AdWords, which is basically talking about the number of the review score, that you have as a business. And you actually have it represented in a way of gold stars. So that really does sort of get the attention. There's not many people who actually have reviews within their Google AdWords. And so, you know, you kind of, you know, you get influenced by that. And actually, as an advertiser, you benefit from it, because more people click on ads which have the review score within their ads. That improves the CTR, the click-through rate. And as a consequence, that also improves the quality score. And when you improve the quality score within AdWords, that lowers the amount of money you're paying per click. So all in all, it's a win-win. You really do influence the behavior of your buyers if you present the reviews, you know, upfront within the ads. And to do it in an easy way is to use a product called FIFO, F-E-E-F-O. So as well as having the mention of the reviews within the ads, you can also have them within your own website. So it's, you know, you're presenting them on your website and also within the ads. And that will influence, like I say, your customers' buying habits. And it all starts, you have a happy customer, and then using this technology at FIFO, they will get an email, and they go through the system, they leave a review, and it gets, like I say, it gets funneled through to the ads, and also if you embed the code on the website to display the reviews. So yes, it's a win-win. Definitely check it out. Also, on the topic of AdWords, you might see some ads say that this business has X number of followers on Google Plus, and it just makes the ad bigger, you know, it adds another line. And you can't actually go into AdWords and kind of add it. You know, you can't manually add it as a feature. You just have to set up an environment where Google actually then decides to add it to your ads. And that environment is simple as having 100 followers on Google Plus. So if your business name is ABC Limited, it will say ABC Limited has 100 followers on Google Plus. Now, many businesses obviously are kind of not too interested in Google Plus. They've got too much else on their plate. But I've had some success recently where I've said to a client, you know, If you can reach out to your warm network and try and get as many followers in Google Plus, if you can get up to the critical number of 100 and you're already on Google AdWords, you will find that line gets automatically added to your Google AdWords. There's no extra charge, so it's definitely worth doing. I mean, you do pay when someone clicks on the ad, but there's no charge to have this extra content within your ad, and it's called a social extension. The call-out extensions, the social extensions, site links, these other extensions, you deliberately put them within your ads, but the social extensions and the advertiser ratings, which is the reviews I mentioned before, they kind of need to be done in a different way. And not many businesses are aware of what needs to be set up. So yes, if you're looking for having advertiser rating within your ads, definitely look at FIFO as an option. And for the social side of the extensions, look at how many followers you have in your Google Plus page. And you won't have many, obviously, if you haven't been proactively asking for followers. But I've had clients that quickly increased from very low numbers up to 100 in the course of a few days. But it does mean you need to reach out to your sort of warm and close personal network to try and get the numbers up to 100. Now, another topic I want to talk about is videos within Facebook. You're probably very aware that if you scroll through Facebook, video will start playing. The audio will be turned off, but the video will start playing. And in the old days, like 2014, you would put your YouTube link in there and your video would get shared and that was it. You know, you were sharing your video. But nowadays, Facebook really does favor any video that is uploaded directly to Facebook.com rather than putting a link to YouTube in. And if you have spent a lot of time creating a YouTube video, if you're putting a lot of resource into your channel there, I highly recommend that you create a 10-second or 20-second trailer for that video, but do it, you know, within a video file that you can upload directly to Facebook. So it's like a trailer. And then using the call to action button, you can now put at the end of a Facebook video in the watch, you know, you have an option and one of them is watch more. And then you put in your YouTube link to the actual video. That's very effective because that gets shared. The trailer gets shared, but ultimately also all the traffic or a large percentage of the traffic will also click away to the YouTube video, which is where you want to get the views and where, you know, they see the full version of your video. Because what works really well on Facebook is the shorter videos, maybe like your 10, 20, maybe 30 second videos. And what works really well on YouTube is maybe like your 90 second to 2 minute videos. So you, a bit like the Gary Vaynerchuk book, Jab, 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 Right Hook, you need to acknowledge what works well in different environments and then just play to that. So yes, if you've got a YouTube video and you want to put it in Facebook, yes, you'll get some success if you put the link in directly. But if you can take the time to make a 10-second trailer, maybe a little bit longer, but you know, not too long, which grabs someone's attention, and then you have the call to action button at the end and the watch more link, which goes to YouTube. You'll leverage your the YouTube video. Well, you leverage what Facebook offers, and Facebook is offering many more views within Facebook if it's a Facebook video as opposed to a YouTube one. So a strategy to be acutely aware of, I believe, because times have changed. You know, we spoke about before the Facebook rules and regulations and the way that it's always changing. So something to be aware of when it comes to your video marketing. Finally, I want to talk about the fact that Google and Twitter are back in bed. They got a new partnership. They were last together in 2009 to 2011, where basically tweets would be within the Google search results. You probably noticed that that hasn't been the case for a good number of years, but it's all going to change in the next month or two, where you'll be able to search maybe on a hot story, a news story, and you'll see the latest tweets there. And this is a major play, and I think it's you just got to be really aware of what's happening here, because I believe Google have put their hands up really and said that, look, we haven't really sussed out social search that well. You know, Google Plus, hopefully it will kind of disappear sometime in the near future, maybe 18 months to 2 years, it hasn't really been everything they wanted it to be. It's certainly not a social platform. And they always disguise the numbers, really, because if you had a Google account, you had a basically had a Google Plus account, but it doesn't mean you're actively on there. I mean, there are some advantages to it. I've already spoken about being aware of it so that you can actually enhance your Google AdWords. But as a social space, a social search space, it seems to cater to some people really well, but not the masses. And I think a play here by Google was to get back into social search. You know, they've been struggling, but if they team up back up with Twitter, then they can see exactly what trends work. They can offer a personalized experience, a relevant experience, exactly what they believe you want as a reader of their content. And Google News, for instance, will improve because we all know that if a big story happens, then it's Twitter where we first hear about it rather than anything indexed in Google. But now if Google's indexing the or offering the latest tweets, then that's where everyone's going to benefit from. Because before, and like I say, between 2009 and 2011, Google would still index the tweets. But now they've kind of been given this first level access to the front of the hose. So as all the tweets and all that data come in from the 284 million users on Twitter, every single tweet, they got all that information, and they can almost in real time index it and decide which ones are going to go into the Google index. So it's a slicker solution than they had a few years ago. And like I say, it's good news for Twitter because everyone thought that Twitter's kind of slowing down. Where's the growth going to come from? So suddenly tweets are going to be seen by more people. So it's good news for Twitter. And for Google, I think it's a win-win because they're back in the social search space. They're understanding what's going on, and they can make some decisions from there. And ultimately, you know, it's a better experience, I believe, for everyone searching on Google because they're going to get the latest news, the latest tweets. They're going to not have to rely on old content that's been indexed maybe a day or two before. So how that helps your business? Well, I mean, we'll have to see. But if you've already got an active Twitter account, it just means that your tweets are now going to be indexed in Google, and that's not a bad thing. So we need to work out some strategies from that and how we can take that to our advantage in the future. But just be aware of it. I mean, it's a good, you know, regardless of business, it's something that you should just watch out for and enjoy. I believe it's going to be a better experience, like I say. So lots in this show. Covered a lot of things, apps and different products I've been using, some of the client work, AdWords, YouTube, Facebook, you name it. Facebook and also Vine. I mean, I love Vine since it came out in 2012. Just noticing some of the celebrities getting on that a little bit more. It will be mainstream, but again, it will be a bit like podcasting, another a year or two before, you know, your mum and dad talk about Vine, or you hear it on the news, or you hear it in some of the newspapers. I mean, maybe you are, you know, if you're an early adopter, you're hearing about it, but the man on the street doesn't really know what Vine is at the moment. But if you're using that as your platform, if you think 6-second videos are suitable for your business, you're getting something out there, I'm experimenting at the moment, then rest assured, I believe that the momentum will carry on and it will be mainstream in a couple of years' time. These things never happen overnight, as you might like. But Vine was acquired, like I say, in October 2012 by Twitter. So it's not going to struggle in terms of finance. I think, you know, a lot of resources being put into it. And like I said, we've just spoken about the Google deal with Twitter. So that's a healthy space. And as we know, Facebook, a healthy space as well to maybe put some of your resource into. And also earlier, we talked about podcasting and YouTube. I think it's tough. It is tough working out where you're going to put your energies. You know, I'm working away Sunday evening here, trying to put out my best stuff. You as a business owner, however many people you got working for you, maybe it's just on your own or maybe 10, 20, 30, you need to work out. I haven't really spoken about much to do with content marketing this week. And that's something I'm suffering with this month, actually. I haven't done many blog posts. And that is a worry to me. I need to fit that into my schedule because that evergreen SEO content is something that is very influential in my business. It brings in a lot of traffic. I can look back at posts, particularly one that I did on AdWords headlines a few years ago, and that's still my number one traffic device or traffic property that brings, that I sort of depend on really for a lot of traffic to do with AdWords, and I should create more content. So I should be kind of taking on my own advice, taking my own medicine there, keeping consistent with blogging and content management and content creation. And I recommend highly you do it yourself. So yes, in future shows, we'll talk about, you know, where we should be putting our energies, what I'm doing. You know, if you stick to a weekly forecast or schedule of doing one thing, maybe a podcast, what has to be let go? You know, maybe you can't do so much on Facebook or Vine, or maybe you can, but then you've got to maybe employ someone. So we're juggling all the time, aren't we? We talked about the opportunities presented. Some of these properties have been around for a couple of years, like Vine, some for 10 years. You know, where do you put your energy? What do you depend on? The answer is create great unique content and then share it across the platforms. That's the answer. So put a lot of time into your content, make it first class, and then promote it on your chosen platforms, and then stick with that consistently, and not get put off or distracted by the shiny objects out there. Goes back to that Chrome extension I recommended earlier in the show, the Momentum one. It really does sort of force you to concentrate on what's important to you. And if it all gets stressful, then go back to that app called Calm, and that will relax you, and before you can get back into into full steam ahead with your business. So it's been a complete and absolute pleasure talking to you today. Thoroughly enjoyed the show. Hope you've taken something away from it, something that can impart some knowledge you can impart into your business. Let me know how you're getting on. Let me know what you'd like me to focus on in future, what products you're using, what platforms you're depending on to drive your traffic to your website. Also, how you're building your email list. I mentioned it earlier in the show with Steve Chu. That is a fundamental that's been been around forever. You know, that really is. As soon as the internet started, it was all about collecting email addresses and list building. That is the gold. They always say the money's in a list, and that's never changed. And I remind you, single opt-in, not so bad. It's I've done well, but done well using it over the years. You might be losing a lot of people if you're using double opt-in. So consider that. Also check out that podcast between Pat Flynn and Steve Chu, and see if there's any takeaways for you. And finally, with the giveaways, yes, use King Zumo. But if you've got an ebook, if you've got a resource sheet you're giving away to build your email list, and it's not really working for you, consider a course. Is there a course, a 5-day course that you can offer on your website that's going to be more relevant to the audience than just an ebook? That could be something that will really help your business. It's something that I'm changing at the moment, and I'm going to report on that in the next few months as I actually go live with it. So have a great week, and I'll speak to you next week. Cheerio. Bye.
Have you ever wished you had more visitors to your business website, where you switch a button and instantly benefit from a steady, consistent stream of new potential clients and customers? One such proven way to do this is by using Google AdWords. Unfortunately, many businesses fail to take advantage of this opportunity, make huge mistakes, and waste their marketing budget. This is why I recommend you head over to tripleyourclients.com and grab Andy's free 44-page report on the 17 ways to maximize your Google AdWords ROI today. Simply enter your name and email on the homepage to have full access to Andy's special report within seconds.